Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. It's that time of year for many kids and parents. It is summer camp time.
Is it worth $1,000 a week?
It sure is. It's the best darn camp there is.
Well, how do you justify $1,000 a week?
Well, we have some special programs. We're doing Shakespeare in the Round again this year, of course. Our political roundtable, Henry Kissinger, will appear.
It's amazing.
And the kids wanted animals, so this year each camper will stalk and kill his own bear at our private wildlife preserve.
That's incredible.
What do you expect for $1,000 a week?
That is, of course, a scene from the 1979 camp classic Meatballs, starring Bill Murray. A lot has changed in summer camps since then, and some hasn't. For the rest of the show today, we're going to be discussing summer camps. How have they changed? What are your experiences? What does summer camp mean to you and your family, listeners? Do you find it affordable? And do you have memories of camp you'd like to share? Call us. Tell us your thoughts at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. Joining us in studio is Chris Smith. He is the president and executive director of Boston After School and Beyond, which is a nonprofit focused on summer learning. Chris, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks. Great to be with you.
Also with us on the line from New Hampshire is Nick Teich, the CEO and founder of Harbor Camps, which runs a number of summer camps, including Camp Aeronautic for transgender and non-binary youth. Nick, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let me start with the two of you. What does summer camp mean to each of you, Chris?
Summer was about making new friends and learning, though we didn't necessarily know it when we went through it. And now we see that that learning is being made explicit across the board because, of course, learning does not stop at school. And actually, the jokes made in that Meatballs movie are actually coming to the fore. Kids are doing really interesting things, from learning to sail, building boats, urban gardening, all sorts of great activities that help them learn.
Yeah, it was kind of striking. I know it's supposed to be a joke, but policy roundtables, that kind of thing, may not be so far afield.
Not at all. Kids are designing business plans. They're creating projects that are helping their communities. They're really putting their skills to use, practicing them, applying them. And the result is that they are more ready for the next school year.
Nick, how about you? Oh, sorry, Chris. Nick, how about you? What does summer camp mean to you?
For me, it really means community, building community, and making friends and making those bonds that for me have lasted a lifetime from my camp days, but also for the kids to just be able to be who they are and be themselves in a way that they really can't be outside of camp, particularly for the kids that attend our camps.
Nick, your camp is in its 10th year. What was your inspiration for it, and what were you hoping to accomplish when you launched it?
Yeah, that's true. We launched it 10 years ago, and my thought was camp is such a great overnight summer camp, and we're an overnight camp, is such a great medium to give kids the freedom and flexibility and independence away from their parents or caregivers, and also a place for them to really find themselves and be themselves and have fun. I had a great camp experience as a kid, and I also realized that transgender youth in particular would not be able to have the same camp experience as many other kids. A lot has changed in the last 10 years for the good, but it's still mainly that way. And so that was, for me thinking about how could I be a camp professional and what could I do? Also being transgender, this obviously felt close to home for me. And then at around the same time that I was thinking about this, I was asked not to come back to a camp that felt like because I was trans, I couldn't be a good role model for the kids. And so I was told, I would not be welcome back at that camp, which was a charity camp that I was volunteering at the time as an adult. And so it really made me think, how can these kids be enjoying camp experiences? And it turns out many of them weren't. So that was the start of Camp Aeronautic, and our other populations followed that just to have a place where they could be themselves and just be kids and feel like typical kids.
Listeners, we're talking with our guests about summer camp, how it's changed, what's important for kids in summer camp. We want to hear from you about your experiences, what you value, and what's on your mind. Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've got Jeff from Westford on the line. Jeff, tell us your thoughts. Jeff, do we still...
Nutrition class.
Jeff, just start again. We had a little trouble hearing you there. Just start again for us.
Oh, that's okay. I teach a fishing camp in Westford, Massachusetts, through the Marcus Lewis Day Camp. And there are still traditions that are alive and well, and I believe that our camp is evolving over the course and changes of the climate and the times. Your earlier caller had mentioned some things that are certainly within our realm of how we have to take care and maintain kids, and it's alive and well.
And what's an important fishing tradition from your camp that has stayed with you over the years, Jeff?
Well, it's the excitement of seeing a young kid catch their first fish. There is no greater joy than to see them get excited and be engaged. And at that point, you have their full attention. And you, at that point, have the ability to mold and shape and create a memory that will cast lifelong stories and bring them back to the camp someday to teach and be counselors. And that's generally the way that the tradition works. They come to camp, they age out, they become counselors, and then they go out into the real world with some real good experiences.
Jeff, thanks so much for that call, that generational experience. First you go to the camp, then you become a counselor. Leslie from Lexington, tell us what's on your mind about camp.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I agree with all the comments so far and wanted to add a few to my own that will hopefully broaden some people's understanding about summer camp and what it can be. First of all, it's not always just fun in the woods. It can be about changing lives. I'm the volunteer president of the board of directors for Agassiz Village, which is a nonprofit camp, which, you know, many of the kids from Greater Boston that are most underserved attend and have over the last 80 years. And at Agassiz, we're teaching social emotional learning skills as well as swimming and climbing and sport skills, tools that are just going to help them make better decisions in life and get through their lives. And second, I just wanted to comment that I think it can be really easy to send kids, your kids particularly, to homogeneous camps where, like, the kids look like your kids and they come from backgrounds like yours. But, you know, alternatively, it can be an opportunity to experience diversity in a true way, where your kids could learn from other kids and broaden their experience and make friends that they, you know, may not have the opportunity to do meet in their school year.
Leslie, thanks so much for that. Listeners, do keep calling at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. What's the importance of summer camp in a child's life? Chris Smith of Boston After School and Beyond, I saw you nodding a lot as Leslie was talking. So what was resonating for you in that?
I mean, Leslie articulated perfectly the power and the promise of a great summer experience. And it doesn't just have to be a camp. In Boston, we work with 160 programs from the Harbor Islands to the Blue Hills, but they also include college campuses, workplaces, and community nonprofits in between. What they have in common is that kids get connected to other kids whom they might not have met otherwise, to caring adults and teachers in new settings, and to a set of skills and experiences that will lead to quantifiable outcomes in many cases. But to me, it's more important the incalculable benefits of coming away with a sense of curiosity and a sense of confidence.
And let's add to that, Nick Teich, what about just the joy of childhood and our old, you know, either memories or if you never went to camp, you certainly saw the movies of fun and relaxation and play. How important is that to a child's development as well?
For us, it's very important. We have a lot of kids who are, you know, they're going to therapy a lot. They're having to talk about their gender or their, for our dwarfism camp, for instance, their, you know, just their stature or why are they, you know, why do they have skeletal dysplasia or why are they trans or why are they this gender or that gender? And so it gives, camp gives them a place to relax where they don't have to answer those questions and they can just find new friends, people that are different from them but like them in many ways. In really important and deep ways. So for our particular camp, relaxing and having fun is really important because it's something that our kids do not get a lot of back in their home communities, you know, just due to a lot of teasing that they encounter or bullying or just questions, you know, what is it like to be like you? So for us, having them canoeing and swimming and doing archery and making these really deep bonds with people that are like them and understanding them is hugely life-changing, and it really instills confidence and resilience, we hope. And it's just done with your very traditional camp activities. So for us, that, you know, that's what works particularly. And it's so great that there are so many different kinds of summer camp programs around to fit each and every kid.
So we've talked now about the social emotional skills, the diversity that you can be exposed to, the curiosity and adventure, and also just the need to be a kid, which is wonderful, but it comes at a cost. Chris, there's no question summer programs can be really expensive. So what help is there for families to afford some of these programs?
Boston has embraced summer learning as a public policy priority. Mayor Walsh and incoming Superintendent Brenda Casellius launched what's now called the fifth quarter of learning, so that kids in the Boston Public Schools and other public schools get priority access to these camps free of charge. In fact, they've gone so far as to end the traditional summer school and make it this more enriching model of summer learning.
So the old days of the stuffy classroom is gone, and kids instead for free get to do what?
Well, they get to sail, they get to learn tennis, they get to do arts, and they combine it with academics with their teacher. So rather than be assigned to summer school and miss out on all that great enrichment, which has untold benefits down the line, they get to combine them.
So that comes to a term that our listeners may or may not have heard of, which is this concept of the summer slide, the idea that there's learning loss over a summer and that that can be compounded for low-income kids. What is the role in this model of summer learning to help with the summer slide, and how real is that summer slide?
There's a debate about just how real the summer slide is, but what's not debatable at this point is that low-income kids learn less than their wealthier peers. So our efforts are focused on getting kids who otherwise wouldn't find their way to these experiences into the experiences. We were part of a national study over the last few years with the Wallace Foundation and RAND that showed that kids who participated at a high rate, so at least 80% of the scheduled days over 5 weeks, actually outperformed their non-participating peers in English, math, and social-emotional skills.
So, Nick, we've heard about the importance of kids having access to this kind of programming to improve their intellectual, social, emotional skills. According to the American Camp Association, a week-long sleepaway camp cost on average about $800. That was back in 2015, so it's going to be higher than that now. And that was up from $400 in 2005. So that's more than doubling of the cost probably by now. How do harbor camps, your camps, think about affordability?
So this is really important to us because the populations we serve come from all different walks of life. We have summer camps that typically people are in a certain population and they know us or they become aware of us as a resource rather than people who have sent their family members to camps for generations and just figure it's the next thing they're going to do. So we do get a lot of campers who otherwise probably wouldn't have thought about summer camp, which means that it might not be affordable to them. So for us, we raise a lot of money each year for scholarships and financial aid, and we take as many kids as, you know, are a good fit for our program until we're full, and then we raise the money. So we do it in sort of a need-blind way where we don't have a cap on what our scholarship or financial aid might be. It's just whoever needs to come, you know, if they can show us their need, then we will find donors to take care of the money. You know, sometimes that includes, we have kids who come from all over the world. We have several kids from other countries. We have kids from all over the U.S. and Canada. So we do have kids who we pay for their tuition plus airfare, for instance, if they really, you know, don't have any means to help themselves get to us. You know, we'll find a way for that to happen.
You'll make sure that it happens.
Right, yeah. Right. So very important.
Listeners, what programs have worked for you, for your children? What has worked well? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Casey from Quincy, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to also talk about, like, overnight sports camps and the value of being away with the team and learning how to compromise and do different types of activities with each other that don't necessarily involve the sport or a classroom or necessarily a structured environment. I think it's really important for competitive teams to spend time away so that they can learn, you know, each other's strengths and weaknesses, build a relationship, and that way you can play better as a team and then later on in life work better with people. So I think sports camps are really important, which is nice.
Thanks for that call, Casey. Chris, Casey's telling us about life skills that in her case she got specifically from a team sports camp. What skills are kids needing today that maybe 10 years ago they didn't need, that they're either not getting at home or they're not getting in the classroom, that it's really important for summer programs to help them with?
Yeah, I appreciate her comments because whether it's sports, arts, other sorts of activities, they're really a lens for learning these skills. And these are skills that can be taught, learned, and improved. Skills like creativity, critical thinking, collaboration and working in teams, perseverance. What do you do when you initially fail? How do you get back in the game? How do you manage yourself and your time and your goals? So these skills have to be practiced. And a lot of these summer programs are really ideal environments to do so. They're structured, they're supportive, they're challenging at times, and that's where the learning comes in. And it turns out that these skills are really valued in not only school, but also college and careers. Just ask any HR manager looking to hire somebody or an admissions officer what they're looking for. These are the types of skills that kids will use all the way through life. And I like the idea of being able to draw on a summer experience or a memory and to think about the skills you developed, how you entered a new learning environment, how you learned to adjust it, you overcame what was then a barrier, or you thought it was a barrier, and to apply that to new challenges in life. That's the idea.
So Nick Teich, CEO and founder of Harbor Camps, that there's so much going on in a potential child's day around camp, even if they're doing simple things. It strikes me, I mean, you're living up there. This is a long haul. It's got to be exhausting, and there has to be something that makes you want to get up every morning and engage with what I think you have about 150 kids at a given time there.
Yes.
So what?
And I don't.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say I don't have to get up because I don't sleep.
but to the point.
And finding a quiet place to do this was very difficult. But you know, it's just the energy. I mean, the kids are. It's energizing. It's adrenaline. It's not something I think I could sustain 12 months of the year. But the fact that the rest of the year I'm, you know, meeting campers, getting campers to come, we're hiring staff, we're doing, you know, fundraising for these kids. And then my, you know, all of our staff when we're here are just so energized by the kids and seeing them light up and seeing them try something for the first time and seeing them make friends. I've never met another kid like me before, and now I have a friend for life or 8 friends for life. You know, seeing them say goodbye to their parents and being sad, and then an hour later, you know, they've already made something. It is hard not to be energized by that, and it's just the community. It's amazing. I mean, I've always loved overnight camp, and I think I just never wanted to not be there, so I found a way to make it my career.
So when it's over, though, do you like go crawl into a hole and sleep for 2 weeks? Or
yes, that's exactly what I do.
That makes sense. All right, well, let's look ahead now. So we've talked a little bit about, you know, Chris, one of the things that struck me is that the city of Boston told the Globe that there are now 14,000 students participating in city-sponsored summer programs. That's a huge increase over the last 10 years, is it not?
It's a very big increase. It started with just a handful 10 years ago. It's grown. And these programs are really working together to get better, to make sure that they're serving kids who otherwise wouldn't be served. And, you know, it's interesting. I think we're at a point now where high-quality summer learning shouldn't just be an accident of birth if your family can afford it or rely on heroic fundraising efforts like Nick's, but they should really be an expectation of a good education. And we're seeing the city and school districts increasingly take that on because they recognize the value of this type of learning, which is a little different from learning in school. And in fact, this happens to be National Summer Learning Week. We're celebrating it on Wednesday at the Charlestown Navy Yard at Courageous Sailing, where we're going to see a sailing demonstration of kids. So this is all heading, I think, in the right direction as we collect these anecdotes, as the research catches up with what's obvious and intuitive to any of us who have seen a kid benefit from this type of program.
Excellent. And Nick, just in, you know, a few seconds, what's the next big step in camp from your perspective? Maybe something that you dream of being able to offer kids one day.
I love what we're doing right now, but I would say that camp in general is becoming more important because of the technology addiction that our society has. And any kids being able to be away from that, and at our particular camp and many overnight camps, they are away from it. It gives them the face-to-face friendship making that is hard to emulate outside of camp, and that's really important.
That's great. That was Nick Teich on the line from New Hampshire. He's the CEO and founder of Harbord Camps, which runs a number of summer programs. Thank you for joining us, Nick.
Thank you.
Chris Smith, Executive Director of Boston After School and Beyond, thanks for joining us, too.
Thank you.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR. I'm Tiziana Deering. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.